You're listening to The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Traditionalist. Instead of Matthew Heimark, you've got me, Sven Longshanks, for the time being. The date is the 10th of October 2016, and I think Matt is having some kind of problem with the internet at the moment. He's telling me the internet keeps dying. But we do have Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson here with us to keep us company until Matt manages to reach us. So how are you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing very well. I'm not quite as charismatic as Matt is, but I think I could fill in a pinch, you know.
Yeah, well, I think you can do a pretty good job of filling in for him, actually. We were just talking off air that I've just finished watching the Donald Trump debate with Hillary Clinton. I thought he did a lot better this time, and I thought maybe we could discuss that. But you didn't actually see that, and you've just been telling me that you've just finished an article on why people shouldn't actually vote. So maybe we should talk about this new article of yours for a bit until Matt gets here.
Well, yeah, I'm kind of known for that. I mean, you know, the debates are highly scripted. Both campaign teams get together. They decide on questions and how it's going to go. If there was anything left to chance, they wouldn't be there. That's been ever since the Nixon-Kennedy debate. That's been the case. As far as voting, you know, I've never voted in my life. I think it says to vote. If somebody votes and takes part in the American system of government, they have some accountability for what that system does because they've accepted it. Refusing to vote is withdrawing of consent. Liberal democracy does not admit of revolution. There's, you know, you work within the system or you're finished. It also implies that somehow the authority that a government functions under comes from the people who vote, not even the population as a whole, but just a handful of people who, at least in America, who bother to vote. It's something, you know, it's been a policy of mine, you know, activism, of course, protesting everything I've been doing my whole life. I've been on the front lines my whole life. But voting is just too official for me. It means that I'm accepting the system. I'm accepting the two candidates. I'm accepting the system that produces the two candidates, that there should only be two candidates. That's, you know, that's too much for me. I can't do it.
Well, I can understand that. I mean, I used to think that way myself. I used to think, well, it's pretty pointless voting. They're all much of the same. You're not going to get anything different no matter who you vote for. And then just this year or the beginning of last year, Donald Trump appeared, and a lot of the things he was saying really chimed with me. And they've obviously chimed with a lot of people. I mean, a lot of what he says is very sympathetic to the issues that we talk about. And on top of that, we also had the Brexit vote. So we had a chance to vote on something really important, whether we were going to leave the EU or not. And enough of us voted, 17 million of us voted to leave the EU, which is a vote for nationalism. So I would agree with you most of the time, but sometimes we do get a chance where a vote can matter, and we do catch them out. I mean, especially over here in Britain, they really thought that they had that EU vote in the bag. They had no idea that more people were going to vote to leave than were actually going to stay. So we caught them out. We caught them on the hop. And it seems to me that it's a similar situation with Donald Trump. The polls are saying that Clinton is slightly ahead. All the media is making out that she's wonderful and nobody likes Donald Trump. And yet he's selling out his rallies. He's getting huge, huge cheers. And he pretty much wiped the floor with her last night on the debate. I mean, he is doing really well. And I think he's got a lot of support. People that I speak to all say that they support Donald Trump, or the majority of them do. So the media is lying to to us about him. And I think a lot of people think there's no chance he's going to get in there. But there is a chance he's going to get in there if people do go out and vote. And it may be that this Brexit vote that we've just had in Britain, that was the only time that a vote may have mattered in my lifetime in Britain. And this may be the only time that your vote will actually matter in people's lifetimes in America.
So it's, you know, if I were in Great Britain for the Brexit vote, I would break my policy. Because it doesn't contradict anything that I said. It's knocking away a set of institutions. It's separating from the European Union. It's actually a demand that England be separated from the European Union. It doesn't accept the system as it is. It doesn't accept the power structure as it is. Quite the contrary. And it was a tremendous event. So if I were an Englishman, I would have registered to vote in that particular case. Yes.
Yeah, it's voting on a single issue. But I do think that the chance to vote for Donald Trump, I mean, that's a similar thing as well. I mean, it's voting on the immigration issue, voting on the Muslim issue. And he is a real polar opposite of everything that we've had so far with that Hillary Clinton represents. I was talking about this just the other day. This is the first time really that it's been really polarized. You've got one candidate that represents everything that has gone on before, and you've got another candidate who represents something completely new. And you could see that just in this debate, that I watched this afternoon, the way that, he was talking to her, the way that he was bringing up the crimes that she has committed and saying that if he gets into power, then he's going to appoint a special prosecutor specifically to look into Hillary Clinton's crimes and prosecute Hillary Clinton. Now, when have you ever heard, a candidate for an election that actually got to right up to the election and had masses of support saying that they were actually going to take the previous administration to court and prosecute them for their crimes?
Well, it actually did happen in Ukraine with Yanukovych said he was going to do that with Tymoshenko, although that's kind of obscure. Remember something, that there's a big difference between voting and civic activism. When the media attacks Trump and promotes Hillary Clinton, how many times are they voting? 1,000 times, 10,000 times? You know, I've been, you know, campaigning and been active, you know, for right wing candidates from Pat Buchanan in 1992 in New Hampshire. So who knows how many times I voted in effect, but not actually in reality. It's like in the American South after the Civil War, the carpetbaggers would go down there and mobilize blacks who didn't know what was going on. And so these people were voting 10,000 times, depending on how many blacks they could get in line. And civic activism is something very, very different from the actual mechanics of voting. I'm not even sure that it would count, especially after, you know, I mean, elections have been stolen all over the place. I don't believe that the vote actually matters, even if it were, you know, an essential issue. But activism and frontline fighting for Donald Trump, I've been doing it from the very beginning, and I've been doing this consistently with people for office, usually third parties, with the exception of the Buchanan campaign in '92 and '96 in this country. So in effect, I voted many, many times. You know, because public campaigning is another matter. It's very different from actually voting. Plus, well, the fact I don't get called for jury duty.
Well, is that a good thing? I mean, it might be good that you actually got on a jury and you know, you could actually influence the people there, especially if you thought that what was being done was unjust. But just to go back to this voting thing, I mean, you could actually see voting as part of activism, because I don't think anyone should say, well, that's it, I can just cast my vote and that will sort the problems out. I think we've got to attack this from all fronts, basically. And I think voting is, for the right candidate, is just one another front that we can attack this on. Obviously, we've got to form communities, we've got to have protests, we've got to form networks, we've got to form these nationalist groups, a lot of the community side of it that I know you talk about a lot. All those things have got to be done. And we've got to push all the time for the pro-white message and support the people that support the pro-white message. And I think part of that is voting for the right candidate, but that shouldn't be all of it. And you shouldn't think, well, once Donald Trump's got in, that's it. All our problems are going to be solved, because they're not. They're not going to be solved. It could make life better, which I think is what we need, because we keep saying, oh, when something terrible happens, we say, oh, well, at least that's going to bring more people to our side. The worse it gets, the better it gets. And that just hasn't proved to be true, though, because America is not full of massive nationalist groups with things getting worse. In Britain, we don't have a credible nationalist party. And look at the state that Britain's in at the moment, 15% non-white, and 170 stabbings in London just in the month of August. So things keep getting worse, and people don't seem to be coming more towards nationalism. So I think what we've got to look at now is going with the better devil, as it were, better the devil you know, or the lesser evil. So support the ones that are just pushing slightly in our direction is better than not giving any support at all. Because I think that may be a bit of a pessimistic way of looking at things as well, as saying, you know, Trump isn't Hitler enough, so I'm not going to support him.
Right. I'm not making that claim. I've never made that claim.
No, I don't think you are.
I understand, if there's ever a time that I would question this approach, it would be now. And it wouldn't be because of the racial issue. It would be because Hillary Clinton wants to start a war with Russia. A vote for Hillary Clinton is a very real possibility. Both China and Russia are engaging in massive nuclear drills. I mean, they're preparing for war. I know the Russian military is on high alert. If Hillary Clinton gets into office, and this is something that a president can actually do, you know, a president really can't force domestic legislation through, only Congress can do that. But in foreign policy, this is a serious issue. So this is a different thing. I mean, I, for the first time in my life, I'm optimistic. For the first time in my life, I'm seeing hope. For years and years and years, I thought that there's no purpose in the political door had been shut, on us forever. And we just had to suffer. And then, and not only did Donald Trump come out of nowhere, but Russia ends up being one of the big, political footballs, which I couldn't believe.
Well, I think
so. If there's ever an argument to be made, it would be now.
Well, I think you're quite right. There is a credible threat there. It does seem to me that Clinton keeps upping the rhetoric towards Russia. She's, you know, personally insulting the president of Russia, the prime minister of Russia, Putin. She's personally insulting him. She keeps accusing him of breaking the law and hacking and all these sorts of things that she's got no actual proof for. And she keeps getting worse with the rhetoric. So I think there is a credible threat there that, you know, she would like to go to war against Russia. This was one of the points that Trump was really strong on in the debate, was talking about Syria and Russia, and saying how he would like to make peace with Russia. He would like to work alongside Russia and Syria in getting rid of ISIS and setting up safe zones for the refugees in Syria and making Saudi Arabia pay for it. And these are all really, really good ideas, and they're the complete opposite of what Hillary Clinton is proposing. And I think anybody that's actually against war and would like to see peace, which is, you know, the majority of people, especially the liberal types, then how can they support Hillary Clinton? They've got to come to Donald Trump's side, because he is the one that does actually want to see peace between the two world superpowers of America and Russia. I mean, that would be a really good thing.
Well, remember, I think you're absolutely right. Americans are going to go off to die. This war takes place, and you had General Milley get on American television and say that we're going to defeat the Russian Federation, and we're going to beat you harder than ever before, which is kind of an odd way to phrase it, because there's never been any confrontation before. And they're going to go off to die in huge numbers, having no idea why. No one has any clue as to why Americans are supposed to die in this war. Even intellectuals, even public intellectuals have no idea what this is over. I mean, we know what it's over. We know what the issue is. We know why Russia's a threat, but it's not, but it's a threat to liberalism. It's a threat to them. Liberalism and leftism, the one thing I wanted to take issue with what you said, is the liberal types and leftist types, they're extremely violent. Their systems, I mean, I know they used to scream peace, peace all the time. That was only during the Cold War. They were supporting the communist powers. There's no liberal system in existence that hasn't come to power with anything other than violence. You know, Sun Yat-sen in China, the French Revolution, the American Revolution, you know, this has been, wherever you go, liberalism, Dutch, Spanish War, liberalism has to be imposed by force, and it maintains itself by force. So, not voting, of course, is a general notion saying that if you vote, you have to accept the liberal agenda, which is true. Liberal in the broad sense, in the institutional sense, not in the lifestyle sense. But in this particular case, you know, we're looking at something, I don't think my vote would count anyway. But, no matter what happens, because the polls are completely rigged, here in America, I have never seen a Hillary Clinton sign on a front lawn. I've never seen one. I've never seen a bumper sticker. Not one. Her rallies, she has a handful of these rallies that are sparsely attended. Some of these people are paid, and yet she's only losing to Trump by what, 1-2%? It's outrageous. It's a completely rigged poll. If they rig that poll, they'll rig every other poll. But this is, you know, there's never been a time, on the one hand, where nationalism is now at the forefront. What Pat Buchanan was saying in 1992, Donald Trump is saying now. And he's winning. And on the other hand, never has there been a time where war, there's never been, throughout the entire history of the Cold War, so-called Cold War, there was never, not even the Cuban Missile Crisis, had this level of rhetoric, where you have both parties screaming for war for no clear reason. I mean, at least in the Cold War, you could make some ideological evil empire speech, but they can't even do that now. They can't do this for Russia. Now, the U.S. is going to lose if that war takes place. Presidents are not dictators. It could still happen under Trump. Frankly, you know, they could easily just kill him. And I, to be honest with you, I don't think that if the system just simply kills the guy, I don't think anything will be done. I don't think that, you know, the right wing will take up arms or anything like that. I think they'll just accept it. Where if it was the left, you know, they'd be rioting in the streets.
Well, yeah, when I was saying that the left like to, what I mean is that the left like to claim to be peaceful. They like to claim
that's right,
to
yeah,
be pacifists.
Right. Especially when the enemy with the USSR.
Yeah, they talk peace, but they make war. But we're actually seeing that Donald Trump is now openly being called a nationalist. They are actually calling him the nationalist candidate on the BBC. And so they are sort of completely associating him with nationalist principles and nationalist parties. And one of the things that you often talk about that he confirmed last night as well was the state of the American military. He was saying that the Russian military has all new equipment, all new nuclear missiles and nuclear technology, whereas America has old nuclear technology and has stopped making any new stuff. So if you were to go to war, I mean, it's quite true what you say, that America is not prepared to go to war, and it would be a complete disaster for America to actually do that. And there must be people that are thinking this, people that don't particularly like Trump, but are thinking this and are thinking, well, I've got to stop Clinton getting in there. I've got to stop Clinton getting in there. Whether I like Trump or not, we must stop Clinton. And she has a terrible reputation from what I can see of it.
And then one of the worst, most obnoxious of the many things that the system is doing is promoting the Libertarian Party. All of a sudden, the regime cares about the libertarians and third parties. Nothing this man says is even remotely libertarian. I've read a lot of his speeches and everything. The guy is you know, his ignorant you know, blurtings on television, it's kind of normal for him. I mean, he's not a stupid man, but he is not versed in foreign policy, which is the president's main area. I get the distinct, I think I've said this before on the show, I get the distinct impression that they kind of promised him fame and fortune in exchange for, you know, running a campaign and against Trump. And I don't think that he's very comfortable with it. I think he's out of his element. For example, in the interview where he made the famous, he couldn't think of one world leader that he admired. The minute that question was asked, Bill Weld blurted out Shimon Peres very loudly. I mean, it was like, you know, and the only reason he would do this is, I mean, you know, he wasn't even asked the question. It was Johnson who had the question.
Shout out
he needed
Jews
to
name.
Blurt that out.
Shout out a Jew's
He needed
name,
to
yeah.
say, you see, we're harmless. That libertarians don't want to pull back foreign aid from Israel. And so, this is my big leader that I love. Out of nowhere, he just blurts it out. So that's very obnoxious. All of a sudden, you know, they're promoting this guy and he, you know, gaffe after gaffe after gaffe and anything to destroy Donald Trump. And the points that I've made elsewhere, and I had a whole podcast, as you know, on the legal situation, that the voter intimidation against Trump supporters and Trump personally really would invalidate the election if it were held in any other country. So if Trump wins, he has a mandate with a capital M. He had everything stacked against him, and he still won.
That's a really good point. I mean, they really are trying anything against him. I've seen some of these advertisements. I don't understand how Clinton can get away with it. Showing Donald Trump's words where he's criticizing a woman. I think it's a woman in a beauty contest. In which case, then that's fair game. I mean, the woman is there to be criticized for what she looks like. And then they're showing you all these faces of these young girls, these children. And making out that Trump is calling these children all these names and being rude about them. And that's complete slander. It's total lies. And you might as well make an advertisement up with Hillary Clinton saying, "We came, we saw, he died." And then showing you pictures of Christ on the cross or JFK getting shot in the right. head. You know, that's how honest those advertisements are. And this recent thing where they've been saying that they keep saying he was talking about sexually assaulting women. There's no way did he talk about sexually assaulting women on that tape. What he was talking about was women consenting to him doing whatever he wanted because he was a celebrity. And I don't understand how anyone can complain about that, because that is the truth. What else was Beatlemania if it wasn't women throwing their underwear and desperately trying to sleep with the Beatles? This is what happens when you're a celebrity. The women throw themselves at you. And that's all he was talking about. He didn't say that anybody said no to him. He didn't say that he forced himself on anyone. And yet the whole narrative has been accusing him of sexually assaulting women when he was talking about women that were wanting that. So I really think they are such scraping the bottom of the barrel with their attacks on him. You know, I really think that those attacks are going to backfire. I know a lot of the Republicans have cucked out and said, "Oh, well, we're not going to support Donald Trump because of this." But, you know, that it just makes them look stupid. And I think most men will have watched that and thought, well, that's just normal banter. Exactly as Trump said, locker room banter. It's not. And it also is dishonestly recorded. It was recorded in private. Somebody sneaked in there and sneakily recorded on a microphone a private conversation and then made it public in 10 years' time. And just the fact that that was a private conversation that's been made public, really, it's the person that sold that to the media that people should be angry at. Not anything that was said on it.
Well, that Trump is so squeaky clean that's how far they had to go to get something.
Yeah,
they tried to get him on taxes, but he broke no law. You know, they can't get much. I mean, it's not like Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton. There's volumes of things, evil things that they've done. They've had to go that far to find something to throw against them. And that's the only thing that the media wants to talk about. It is complete manipulation. Now, I've never had any faith in the American population of any race or background, but that's changing. The media attacks on Trump have been so vicious, so dishonest, as you mentioned, putting the picture of the kids in there to make it look like he's talking about underage girls, which, of course, is not the case. Anything, vicious stuff. And yet, when the primary season was going on, he won state after state after state. Republicans were running screaming from him, scared to death. Corporations They were pulling out from the Republican convention. They didn't want to finance it, winning state after state after state. So this campaign has changed me in a few ways. There is still some of that fighting spirit left. It's a very positive thing in that respect.
It shows you just how dishonest and dirty politics has got. As far as I'm aware, he hasn't fought back like that. He hasn't come out with any false claims against Clinton. I haven't seen any advertisements like the one that I suggested showing JFK getting shot. I mean, he's been quite honest. All he's done is point out that she's erased all these emails, that she's made these corrupt speeches. I mean, he's pointing out stuff which everybody knows. He hasn't had to do anything and do any dishonest, dirty tricks in order to criticize her.
Well, let me just clarify. We started off by talking about my hatred of voting. I'm opposed to liberal democracy. I think generally speaking, voting is a waste of time. It's just a civic ritual that has no real meaning. That doesn't mean, like in the Brexit case or in this particular case, when we have nuclear war possibly over the horizon, that everything we can do to get Trump into office. If I can figure out a way to vote 100 times, I'll do it. You know, anything. This is different. Things have changed. The things that what I'm writing and I'm talking about are in general. Liberal democracy. Politicians are controlled by capital. They're controlled by big money. They don't care about us. They say whatever they need to say. That's true. That's absolutely true. And that doesn't change because of the Brexit vote or because of Donald Trump. So I'm making a very general argument that I've been making for many, many years. But today I'm looking at a landscape that has changed so radically that Americans simply won't, they don't care what the media says. No major newspaper has endorsed Trump. And that's a talking point for him. That's a positive thing. No one trusts the media. I think 7% of the American population has a positive perception of the media. So things have changed radically and rapidly. So in this particular case, my general arguments do not apply, as would be the case, something an extreme case like the Brexit vote, getting out of a multinational institution like that. That's revolutionary. That could set off a chain reaction. So I want to make that clear, before we end the show.
Well, I think there are always exceptions to the rule, but that doesn't mean that there is no rule. It just means, that just confirms the fact that there is a rule, that occasionally you get exceptions to it. So we're in a situation with an exception to the rule, aren't we?
Well, I just can't believe that I can't believe I'm saying these things. I can't believe that I'm optimistic. I can't believe that I'm saying the American, at least the white American population has come through. I can't believe it. Finally. I'm happy to be wrong. I mean, I'm happy to be wrong about this. I very, very much am.
Well, I think the more chaotic things get, the more chances there are of things like this happening. The things that you really think there isn't any chance of happening at all, like somebody coming forward that your vote will actually matter and that could actually do some good for us, that's actually happened. And that's because things have got so chaotic and unbelievable in some cases. And you just look at the way that homosexuality has changed from being a crime that people would be locked up for, a crime that people could be executed for, to being celebrated. I mean, everything's been turned on its head. And because things have got so chaotic, we've got more chances of things happening like Donald Trump, like the Brexit vote. So I think that has a lot to do with it. But just to finish on something positive, I think Hillary Clinton I think she made a real mistake at the end of the debate last night when she was asked to say something good about Donald Trump. And she said his children are an absolute credit to him. His children are wonderful. Now, I think anybody watching that will think that means that he is a good man, because you don't get good children if you don't have a good father. And she gave him the best compliment anyone could ever give, is to say that the children have turned out really well. And I think that, just that in itself, could help swing the election in his favour, to be honest. There are people that think about it. So anyway, with that, what I will do is I will say thank you for coming on, Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. And hopefully Matt will be back tomorrow. He's still having these internet problems. He's sort of fading in and out on Skype at the moment. So hopefully he'll be here for you tomorrow. Thank you, listeners, for listening. Do tune in again tomorrow for some more of the Daily Traditionalist. Until then, hail victory.
Be tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArian.com.